perspective and the people that praised God, because God inhabits the presence of his people. So would anybody like to praise God so that God can inhabit you? Well, anyway, not too good today. Praise God. You may be seated. Do you have the remote, Wendy? Oh, Danny does. Okay, praise God. Well, we're still in Isaiah, and somebody asked me the other day, what is a Haftorah? What does it mean? In the original church called Kahal, there was always a reading from the Torah, which most people don't know. They think, oh, the law. Well, the Torah doesn't mean law. It got translated from Torah to law in the Septuagint, the word nomos in Greek. And the word nomos means the law of the land. But I'm just going to throw out something. Many people say, well, praise God, I'm not under the law. Well, praise God, I'm under the law. I live in America, and you know what? America had the wisdom to have the Torah of God placed upon this nation. So the law is so my neighbor can't rob my house. And so our children and our wives and families are protected. So the law is something, but the word Torah means the teaching and instruction of Yah. And the teaching and instruction. So basically the Torah is from Genesis all the way to the maps. And it's something we need to be excited about. So a half Torah means additional teaching. So if you remember when Jesus got up and he came into the synagogue, he never was rude. He was asked. And he was asked if he would like to read the half Torah, the additional teachings. Usually it's from the prophets. And so this week we have the half Torah out of Isaiah. And we see it starts out this way. Isaiah, this is not right. Oh, gosh. And I didn't print mine. The Haftorah, this is last week. So if you want to arise and shine, there's no reason why you still can't keep last week's Torah in your heart, arise and shine. But God is, just forget about it. It's all right. If you got your Bibles, Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 is a famous portion where Messiah Yeshua stood up and said, thank you. I'll trade you.
Okay.
Oh, I don't have my glasses.
Where are they?
They're sitting down next to Tony in my bag. Well, I'm really good at PowerPoint, but we don't use PowerPoint. We use Proclaim, and Proclaim is something that I'm not real good at, and so we're proclaiming that my sermon is not on Proclaim. So if we look at Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon. What I love about Isaiah is when I read Isaiah, I don't see an Old Testament prophet saying, oh, you're going to hell, Babylon's going to destroy us. I see a man who is like Paul, and he's simply saying, arise and shine. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Spirit of God is upon the body of God. We've got Torah was given, teachings of Moses from God, and 750 years later we have the prophet Isaiah. And we see that, thank you, that was fast. And we see Isaiah to the time of Messiah and the New Testament prophets began to teach a concept of the bride, preparing the body of Messiah to, like Messiah said, he is the light of the world, but because he lives and he lives in you, where? He lives in you, and because he lives in you, you're the light of the world. And he's trying to get the body of Messiah. Isaiah is the body of God. And I mentioned the word Kahal. The word Kahal means gathering of God's people. So we come to the New Testament, and we have this translation called Ecclesia. Ecclesia is a meeting of pagans, of anybody, or of Christians. So I like to use the word kahal because it's the ecclesia of God's people. So the kahal that Isaiah was talking to were the synagogues, and he was trying to get the synagogues to realize that they have gone from Moses' teaching of being excited and serving God all the way to the point of being lukewarm and so out of line with God. And so Isaiah is saying, wake up. And we see this as we start out. I guess I should use my notes here. He said to the people, my people, children, who do not act falsely. And God became the Savior. In all their distress, he was distressed. And the messenger of the presence saved them. Don't forget, Messiah said when he left, I pray they can be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth happens to be right here in this valley. And what Jesus was saying, I want you to represent my presence. Where you go, you represent me. Where you go, where you place your feet, is either holy ground or it's unclean. And you have the choice of being holy or unclean. I love that song, Kadosh, 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 which means holy, holy, holy. Adonai Zevaot. Adonai is this understanding that our God is the Lord of the hosts, which is actually the Lord of the armies. And I was sitting next to Ali, and I said, the Lord of the armies has gone before you. We have gone to war for our children. We've gone to war for our spouses. But right now, I believe that God wants us to go to war for the body of Messiah. I believe the body of Messiah is at a point right now that they don't need to be saved. They don't need to be a revival. That what they need is to be hungry and thirsty for God's righteousness. When our people begin to be hungry and thirsty, it will spread. They'll become contagious. And then the revival will be out of control. The fire and the salvation that we see will be because God's people are on fire for God. They're hungry and thirsty. So in his love and in his compassion, he redeemed. And the Spirit of the Lord, now we're back to Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Can I hear everybody say me?
Me.
Because if the Spirit of the Lord is on you, then praise God. If it's not, and you say that, then guess what? God has called you to prophesy. I'm prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord, oh my God, is on me. When? Right now. Praise God. And so because Yahweh has anointed. He has anointed you because the Spirit of God is on you. When the Spirit of God is on you, you're anointed. Where you place your hands, it's anointed. Where you place your feet, it's holy ground because you're anointed and the Spirit of God is on you to do something, not to go to church and be good, not to go to church and go, I'm anointed, praise God, hallelujah, bless me, hallelujah. You know, we got too many bless me clubs. God wants you to do something, bring good news to the meek. What is the good news? An evangelist, it brings the good news. And the meek are the people that are lukewarm in the body of Messiah. He has sent who? He sent you. He sent. Look at somebody and say, hey, get off your tailgate. God sent you. Oh, that was pretty weak. As far as prophets, a prophet doesn't say, oh, you should do something. You know, a prophet says, hey, in the name of Messiah, bam, bam, bam. So anyway, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Do you realize all these things that you've been commanded to do by an Old Testament on fire evangelist of God? He has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted. Praise God. Who needs to be loved? Who needs to know that they're part of the body, that they're loved, that Jesus Christ died for them, and because of that, he commanded me to love God with all my heart, but he commanded me to love you, my neighbor, with all my heart. Tony, now we're talking today, and we were talking about the churches with all the brothers. And he said, well, aren't you my brother? And he's right. I mean, we gather together white churches, black churches, Hispanic churches, because they're just like us. So if somebody comes in the church and they're just like us, praise God, we'll jump on them and love them, and they'll become part of our church. But the fact is, Tony's my brother, and you're my brother and sister, and the fact is, we need to reach out to the meek and the brokenhearted, and we need to love everybody. But you have been called to release the captives. Do you know what bondage is? Bondage is a lack of freedom. And when we serve God, and right now America is captive, they're captive to a lot of things. And is there anybody here that knows Isaiah 61 and knows that you've been called to set the captives free? You've been called to set the captives free. Should be, wow, praise God, hallelujah, that's you. No, that's you and me, praise God. And the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, praise God. He has sent me to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh. When is the acceptable year of God? Pardon me? When you walk in, praise God. It's right now, praise God. When we realize that God is now, because we've sang that song, who was and who is to come. That's pretty much what we believe. Some glad morning when this life is o'er. And so we keep thinking about tomorrow. But God has sent you right now, today, to proclaim the year of the Lord. Because the year of the Lord is right now, praise God. And the day of vengeance of Elohim. And he sent me to comfort all who mourn, praise God. He appointed me to those who mourn in Zion to give them embellishment for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And they shall be called trees of righteousness, a planting to be adorned, praise God. All because, there's two, praise God. The rest of you stay later, we'll have an altar call. So when you realize that God's anointing is for a purpose, it's not just so you can be anointed. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. I'm anointed, praise God. He's called you to be his servants. The word Lord means master. And master means we're his servants. He's called us to be obedient to his spirit. And they shall be rebuild. Oh, I love this part. They shall rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the former wastes. And they shall restore the ruined cities and the waste of many generations. What he's saying is in the Garden of Eden, God is returning us to the garden. The word gospel doesn't mean, you know, New Testament preaching. The word gospel means the restoration of all things. The restoration of the way God has set up his kingdom. If we understand his kingdom is the fact that we're going to praise God for another 10,000 years. But that's not some glad day when this life is over. It's right now. And that's why God says, I will inhabit the praises of my people, because we are God's people that are called to praise him and to lift him up. Well, why do we even go to church? Why do we go to church? You know what Sabbath is set apart for? God said it's a sign. Sabbath is a sign, and he set it apart so that we can come into a place of freedom and worship him. No matter what's going to happen throughout the world, in Germany or Russia or China or even possibly America, we still can be free to praise God. I'll praise him yesterday, I'll praise him tomorrow, but I'm going to praise him right now, because God has called me to lift him up, and Shabbat is a sign from God to praise God. So we're here to praise him. We're here to worship him. God says, I'll meet you on Sabbath. If God's going to meet us, then praise God. God is here, and God wants to build you up, and he wants to strengthen you. You know, God, we see that Paul said God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. What for? So we can have prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? No, it says for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. Not so you can go to church and be good. It's to learn how to witness, to learn how to be his authority, to learn how to walk in his presence, because where you go, the presence of God should be there. Praise God. But you should be called a priest. This is where Peter understands that we're a kingdom of priests. Not Levites. We're the priest of the holy Israel, the holy spiritual anointed of the commonwealth. And the servants of Elohim, God, shall be said of you, you shall consume the strength of the Gentiles. You shall consume the strength of the Gentiles. Praise God. I wake up in the morning and I'm wiped out. So praise God. I pray, oh, Father God, let there be some strength from the Gentiles come into me. And you're not a Gentile, because Gentile means lost and confused without God. You are a child of God, a child of the King. Praise God. You shall consume the strength of the Gentiles and boast in their esteem. For I, Yahweh, love right ruling. I hate robbery. For burnt offerings, I shall give the reward in truth and make an everlasting covenant with him. You know, Daniel mentioned the covenant. We saw in chapter 29 of Deuteronomy, verse 10, that God just made a covenant with Israel. God made a covenant with Israel, so we're lost. But then he says in verse 10, but the covenant I made is not only for them, but it's also for those who weren't there today. Praise God. We weren't there today, unless you're really old. We weren't there, and God says, I want to make covenant with you. Covenant is the understanding of being one that Messiah taught. Covenant is a relationship with God, and I want to show you some things. Let's see. Let me take you to Matthew 7:21. So we've got all this anointing from God, and Isaiah is on fire for God. But don't forget what Jesus said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, or Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but he who is doing the desire of my Father in heaven. The will of the Father. You know, I've looked all through the New Testament. I can't find the Father's will. But I look in the Old Testament, and I found the Father's will. I found his teaching. And I want to sit before God, and I want to hear this. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And you know, I can stand on my authority, and I can debate what I think is right, but I don't have a chance unless I can back it up with the Word of God. And let me continue. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not been great Christians for you? Have we not served you? Have we not been on fire for you and prophesied in your name? As a matter of fact, haven't we just used the formula and cast out demons in your name? And we've done mighty works in your name. Isn't that not true? And so we're debating with God. And Jesus is saying, that's true. Thank you very much. But there's something missing in your relationship with God. There's something missing in your authority that you seem to claim. In your defense, which you have none when you stand before God. And if God doesn't say, well done, my good and faithful servant, you're in trouble. Because of this next verse. And then I shall declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of anomia, lawlessness, against the law. I never knew you. You know, we teach a great relationship, just a closer walk with him. So we know Jesus. We know God. But the word in Hebrew, yada, means to have intimate knowledge with somebody. And so when you're married, you have a oneness. It's not just about physical intimacy. There's a oneness that comes in being married. You know what she likes. You know what she doesn't like. You know what turns her on. You know what buttons to press to get her uptight. You know her because the Spirit of God is in you, and you have become one. When we become one, and Messiah Jesus is saying, you knew me, you sang about me, you worshiped me, you walked with me, you prayed for me, you cast out demons in my name, but I never knew you. That's a real strong message. I went to Jesus and said, don't you mean you used to know us? No, I never knew you. The word yada means to have intimate relationship, and we need to have that with God right now. And the body of Christ right now is at that stage of a revival. I mean, the body is coming, and many people are already in that message or in that revival, because we want to know God and we want God to know us. When God knows us, you have an intimate relation. He knows your heart. He knows your desires. He knows why you used to love tacos more than pizza. Everything about you, he knows. And that's what we need right now is yada. And many Jews think yada means just physical intimacy. That's why Seinfeld said, yada, yada, yada. But the real depth of yada is back when we know the relationship with God and he knows us. So praise God. And anyway, we see yada means intimate knowledge. The other one, anomia, is against the word of God, against Torah. And don't get upset or become legalistic thinking the Torah is Genesis through Devarim. The Torah is God's teaching and instruction, which you'll find in here, but you also find it in here. The Spirit of God is the Torah of God, and the Torah of God is the teaching of God, and we need to walk in that. And that's why Jesus said, my sheep that I know hear my voice. And oftentimes I say, if you don't hear his voice, perhaps you're not his sheep. And we need to be very cautious in our life. So we see this Torah portion said, I said before you, blessings and life and curses and death, and you get to choose. We get to choose. And so I'm asking you right now, if you want to stand, I want to hear you choose. I want to make covenant with God. I want God to know me. I choose him. Praise God. I choose him. So I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, you shall choose so that you will, both you and your, praise God. You know, right there, God is saying your generations, your children's children, praise God, can have this relationship with God. And you can stand upon the word of God and say, Father God, I want my seed. I want my children's children to know you. I want my family to know you. I want them to walk in your presence, dear Father God, because I want to make covenant with you and I want to be faithful to you. Because God is calling me to stand in the gap and intercede for my seed, praise God. So you can too. I just believe that God wants us to seek him while we still can. Seek Adonai while he is available. Call on him while he's still nearby. Father God, we thank you for this half Torah. We thank you for the prophet Isaiah. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you that we've been called so that we can choose, because you chose us first. Praise God. And I ask today that we have a heart and a hunger for you and for righteousness. And the Spirit of God is upon us and anointed us, praise God, to serve you and to be your voice in the wilderness. And God today is asking us to be introspective. So I'm just going to say, seek God while you still can. Praise God. So let's give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. And we'll go from there. There you go.